$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me, my co-host, Rick Maxian.
Hello.
Hello, Richard and Brian Higgins.
Hello.
Guten Tag, there, Brian.
I got the German greeting.
You got the Germans, Brian.
Wow.
The Germans.
Yeah. That
ties in
that
so
ties
well
in
with our movie.
So well.
Well, the
speaking
movie we
of
did.
Speaking Germans.
How can we go from Okinawa or
there's one way.
World War II connection. What's your junction?
It sounds
what?
Like a,
it sounds
like
the new school.
World War II connection.
It
what's
sounds
your
like
junction?
like a dating like hotline.
World War II connection. World War II misconnection. I saw you outside of Berlin.
Yeah.
You were shooting at me.
No. Okinawa.
Okinawa. Oh, yeah, Okinawa. Well, that's related to. That was a roundabout way. Yeah, the movie we did last week, as the full reviews it, gentlemen, if you recall, was 1984's The Karate Kid.
I do recall.
I don't know if you guys thought about the movie at all after that, but I was really kind of pumped to find the sequels, and I'm interested in watching them. Oh, and I actually texted you guys because we started to get into a little bit about the Jackie Chan remake that came out.
Right.
And I was saying, like, oh, I'd never seen this movie.
So, Jaden Smith.
With Jaden Smith. I was like, I had never seen this movie. I can't relate to it. And then I found I have I thought it was a 3-pack. It was actually a 4-pack of the Ralph Macchio Karate Kid 1-3. And then the fourth movie is the Jackie Chan remake. So I actually.
Well, no, Ralph Macchio's just 1 and 2, right? And
no, he's in 3.
Oh, I thought it was the. What's her name?
That next Karate Kid with Hilary Swank is the fourth one.
Oh.
Yeah. So I actually.
Wait,
which
so
that
you didn't
seems
get
like,
the fourth one? You
that
got
seems
the fifth
like it would
one?
Make more sense because it would still would have been Pat Morita. Like, at least you'd have
yeah.
the connection.
Yeah.
But no, I got the Jackie Chan remix, so I own the movie, yet have never seen it. So
that's true of many movies I own.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. So that was one of the things that kind of came up. How about you guys? I mean, we had kind of mentioned a little bit how. This was kind of in our head because that YouTube Red series, Cobra Kai, came out. Did anyone
right.
try to watch an episode of that at all?
I tried watching it. Yeah. I tried watching it earlier today. I got about a halfway through one
I think
episode.
That's as far as I got, too.
Yeah.
But I watched it really late, and I fell asleep.
I did not try.
You didn't see.
No. I was just.
Do you intend to at some point? Yeah, any interest?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, one of the things that I found so interesting about this, and pretty much of all the movies we watch, this is one of the only ones where I'm like, I don't remember seeing it, or half of it, I should say, but I would watch it again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I
it's
don't
like
think
I
I'd
enjoyed
watch it immediately,
it. Sometimes,
but if it was on TV, I'd definitely.
Sometimes with the things we watch, I'm like, oh, this should have stayed in the past.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this
oh, yeah,
one, I'm
right.
like, this isn't bad at all.
Brian, what was your impression of that Cobra Kai show?
It seemed pretty interesting.
Yeah.
William Zabka's not the best actor.
No,
out there.
Yeah.
But I am intrigued.
Funny?
Not really.
Isn't
not
that what they're going for?
From what I've seen so far, it wasn't very funny.
Yeah.
But maybe it will get there.
Yeah.
It was Danielson kind of an ass.
Well, he's become like a car salesman.
Yeah, he's just
right.
like riding his fame. He's just like, you know, he
30
did,
years
it's like
later
he did that one great thing in high school, and that's all he has to show for it. So
was
he
it,
turned it into
was that from Married with Children? I once threw 4 touchdowns.
Yeah,
Al Bundy. Yeah,
yeah.
So some fun facts about The Karate Kid. So one of the scenes that we absolutely loved because it really showed the layers to Mr. Miyagi was the drunk Miyagi scene.
Yeah.
But originally, the studio wanted to drop that scene.
That's
well,
they felt that it slowed down the pace of the movie.
I feel like I understand that, especially think about this back in the 80s.
John Avildsen argued for it, and it was the scene that pretty much got Pat Morita the Oscar nomination. So
yeah.
It's a good thing they kept that in. The car that was given to Daniel-san, that yellow classic
yeah,
automobile
that, was a
that
nice
he's
one.
Wax
I want
on, it was wax off. Ralph Macchio was actually given that by the producer
what?
After the movie was over. Yeah. It was a 1948 Ford Super Deluxe.
That's
that
awesome.
Was the car, so.
He got paid and got that car?
Yeah. Hey, look at that. Oh, this is interesting. So according to William Zabka, the character he betrays, Johnny, obviously, the big bully, mm-hmm. still irks so many people to this day that a lot of people come up to him and try starting fights to show him that he isn't so tough. It's come to the point that he's had to convince them that the role was specifically written for the movie, and he is not that guy. So people just want to fight William Zabka on the street.
But that I think Brian, after Brian was watching the YouTube Red, I think he wanted to fight him too. Your acting is so terrible.
I could take him.
But that's for acting, not for his character.
It doesn't matter.
Elizabeth Shue was actually studying at Harvard while this movie was made, and she interrupted her studies so she could be in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Harvard.
Good choice. I mean,
was that
she had
Saved by the Bell, the New Class
it was
reference?
The other day. They play it on MTV and like a 2 hour
Is that,
block
is that New Class or is it?
No, original.
Original?
Stansberry wouldn't take Jesse because Zach got a better SAT score. Oh, one of the guys, I don't know if you remember this, but the guy I referred to as the badass ref.
Yeah.
I was really intrigued. I looked up his name. His name was Pat E. Johnson.
Oh, it wasn't Ed Hockley.
He's a karate expert and former student of Chuck Norris. He instructed many of the stars in karate and is credited as a fight instructor slash choreographer for the film as well.
Well, that makes
sense.
So
he was one of Chuck Norris's. He looked like a badass. The skeleton fight when all of Johnny's gang, the post-Halloween party, and they beat
when
up.
When he put the water hose in the.
Yeah, and then they beat him up by the fence. The actors in the scene were complaining that the stunt double guy for Mr. Miyagi was hitting them too hard, which caused the scene to lose some of the choreography and authenticity. Fumio, the stunt double, told the director that he could use his own students and they would be able to take the shot. So the director agreed, and they shot the fight scene successfully in one take.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really cool thing.
So all like the, you know, Will Zabka and Chad Everett there.
All
they,
there.
You know,
all the, like, the bullies.
They're hitting us too hard. Stop it. Interesting. Pat Morita himself actually designed the Banzai logo that was sewed onto Daniel's karate gi.
He's a
so
comedian, a great actor,
and like a fashion
and
designer.
A designer.
Yeah. Okay. So according to Joe Esposito, who was the singer and writer for You're the Best.
Oh,
the song was like, originally supposed to, it was written for Rocky III in 1982, but the song had been rejected in favor of Survivor's Eye of the Tiger.
I like it.
Ironically, Survivor also performed the theme song, The Moment of Truth, that's in The Karate Kid as well.
Wasn't that?
So Survivor
like a,
was in both.
Like a B-movie actor, Joe Esposito.
Joe Esposito.
Oh, no, Joe Estevez.
Oh, Joe Estevez. You're thinking of Martin Sheen's brother?
Yes.
Who we saw starring in a Mystery Science Theater 3000
Yeah, that's
episode.
Who I was thinking about.
Joe Estevez. Charlie Sheen turned down the role of Daniel LaRusso. Speaking of, that's weird.
Speaking
that's
of
weird
the Estevez.
Yeah. That's a weird, weird, weird coincidence. William Zabka actually had no martial arts training prior to being cast in the film. He was actually an accomplished wrestler.
I guess so. He's taller, bulkier.
So Martin Cove, who played John Kreese, it was rumored that he had replaced Chuck Norris, who allegedly turned down the role of Kreese because he didn't want karate trainers to be shown in an unsympathetic light. Norris went on record and said he was never offered the role, but if he had been, he would have declined for the same reason.
That's actually pretty funny. I actually can see that. I would believe that if someone told me that. Even though it's not true, I'd be like, yeah, Norris isn't going to take this.
Yeah, right. How often did he ever play a bad guy? He, like, never did.
Right.
Karate Kid is actually the name of a superhero character in the DC Comics Legion of Superheroes. DC Comics, which owns the name, had to give special permission for the title to be used. There's a thank you to DC Comics in the credits.
Is it a shared universe?
You think it's the same character?
Oh, my God.
I think it's just like for any wrestling fans out there that played video games in the 90s,
yep.
The opening credits of the video game would always say, Gangrel is a trademark of White Wolf Entertainment.
Oh. William Zabka did go on to continue his karate training in real life and became a second-degree green belt. So it seems like he's topped at some point.
Where's green belt in the...
It's not up to black belt. I know that.
Not even
brown belt.
I know, but... Where is it in the list?
Well, that's interesting. Well, we'll have Brian look up the karate belts while we're looking here. Kyle Eastwood, the son of Clint Eastwood, auditioned for the role of Daniel LaRusso, but didn't get the part. When he failed to get the role, his dad, Clint Eastwood, retaliated by banning all Coca-Cola products from the sets of his movies. Columbia Studios, who made The Karate Kid, was owned by Coca-Cola at the time. That's a weird... Like retaliation, petty thing to do.
Clint,
I wonder if he was talking to an empty
Clint,
chair.
You're dropping in my rankings here.
Yeah,
just little things that he's been doing.
Yeah, oh yeah,
that I didn't know about.
Oh, and that's also why in the movie, Daniel is drinking Minute Maid orange juice and Mr. Miyagi has a Sprite in his workshop because it's all Coke products. Yeah. The crew shot Pat Morita trimming a tree so many times, eventually he had to start faking it. Otherwise, the tree would have just been dead at that point.
That's pretty awesome.
Okay, we'll end on this, because this is one of the things here. Oh, well first I got to say, it was the top rental video of 1985, so that's fun. But then finally, as we kind of mentioned...
So we didn't end on that. We're ending on this.
The opening scene of The Karate Kid Part 2, 1986, was meant to be the ending to this film, although it wasn't shot until after the second film's production began. In it, Kreese attacks Johnny for losing the tournament. Miyagi confronts Kreese and passively immobilizes him. Miyagi threatens to strike a deadly blow, but instead comically tweaks Kreese's nose and walks away. Oh, I remember that. That was a big thing in Karate Kid 2. Is like there was like this death punch they could do, like to kind of put them away, but they would just tweak the nose and go honk.
Like the touch of death.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow,
that's crazy. Members of the Cobra Kai dojo then drop their belts around Kreese. Both B.B. Hiller's novelization of the film and early copies of the script have this ending. So like we said, it picks up right off because they intended for this to be the ending of the movie. But they kind of do that like punch of death tweaking thing. That's how the second movie ends as well. So they kind of bookend the movie that way. So there we go. Fun facts about Karate Kid.
And now, since you asked.
Yes.
The belt meaning rankings. Of the colors.
Yes. I would like to know, because did you guys ever take a karate? I never did.
I did a little bit when I was 8.
Okay, so
what level did you get to?
I don't think I even got a belt because I quit before I did my first ceremony. You have to do a ceremony in order to earn the belt.
So you were just wearing a leather Dockers belt.
I don't think I even had a karate gi. I just showed
karate
up.
Karate gi?
Like,
what was that?
Karate gi.
What
it's
is
like
that?
The
That's
robe.
What it's called.
What?
The outfit.
Karate gi.
I didn't
what
even
it's
know.
Yeah. Well, you never took karate.
I didn't.
So I went to the World Martial Arts Center.
Okay.
WMAcenter.com.
Ah.
They do dispel the urban legend that belts begin with the white belt and become stained black from years of sweat, dirt, and blood.
I
say that that's not
that.
True.
I had never heard that.
That would be disgusting.
That'd be really gross.
How? Why would it be green?
Why would it transform to green?
By
giving your competitor disease when it hits your belt.
Yes, yes. It's gangrenous.
It's a long game.
Yeah. So the standard belt color system is white, yellow, gold, orange, green, blue, purple, brown, red, and black.
So he was like mediocre.
And then I thought there was like a black with like red stripes after that.
He was like mediocre.
It was like a double.
Well, there's got to be different levels of black.
The meaning of the belts, white signifies a birth or beginning of a seed. So a white belt student is a beginner searching for knowledge of the art. The white belt is the beginning of life's cycle and represents a seed as it lies beneath the snow in the winter. The yellow belt or sash signifies the first beams of sunlight, which shines upon the seed, giving it new strength with the beginning of new life. Yellow belt is given to the student when he has his first ray of knowledge, opening his mind from his instructors. Orange represents the growing power of the sun as it warms the earth to prepare for new growth in the spring. So the orange belt is starting to feel his body and mind open and develop. Green signifies the growth of the seed as it sprouts from the earth, reaching toward the sun and begins to grow into a plant. A green belt student learns to strengthen and refine his techniques. Mm-hmm. Blue signifies the blue sky as the plant continues to grow toward it.
Blue skies.
A blue belt student moves up higher in rank just as the plant grows taller. The light feeds the plant so it can continue to grow.
Okay. See, Mr. Miyagi wasn't into belts, but yet there's a plant connection with those as well.
Oh,
purple,
that's weird.
Good point. Purple represents a changing
purple
sky of dawn.
Dishwasher.
Brown represents the ripening of the seed, a maturing and harvesting process. Red signifies the red-hot heat of the sun as the plant continues growing toward it. And it represents cinnamon. Red is a sign of danger, and the red belt is beginning to become dangerous with their knowledge and abilities. And then black signifies the darkness beyond the sun. So a black belt seeks new, more profound knowledge of the art. As he begins to teach others, he plants new seeds and helps them grow and mature.
But what about canvas belt from JCPenney, $4.99?
That's just $4.99.
So is there levels of black belts?
Yeah, is there black belts? Because I always thought
was
like,
you know, 6-degree black belt or something.
Like a level. I'm a third degree black belt.
Yeah.
Maybe just get the belt and then they give
you
like a pin.
I wonder if that's like something else.
They give you a brooch.
Maybe it's like Kevin Bacon belts.
There probably is.
6 degrees of black belt.
I feel like every website I'm coming across, it's just different answers.
Oh, speaking of connections, that reminds me, we need to connect the last movie we did to the current one. Just like a 6 degrees, like good transition there, right?
You know what? If
you're on it, you're on it today.
I am guiding this podcast to the light.
The last movie we did was Gremlins 2: The New Batch.
No, yeah, I wasn't there for that one.
And you weren't, but you can still do this, Rick. And the current one is The Karate Kid. All right, gentlemen. So I'll go first because I was able to come up with some connections. Now they're a little long, but I have to mind you, I don't use technology or anything. I come up with these in my head. I'm able to connect them via my memory.
I did the same.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I did amazing things.
So I probably have the longer ones, but they're very interesting ones. I think you'll be excited by these. So the two I made. So first, in Gremlins 2, The New Batch, we remember the cameraman was Getty Watanabe, the donger, who most people know from 16 Candles.
Yep.
He was also in Gung Ho with George Wendt. Anyone ever see that movie with George Wendt and Michael Keaton? George Wendt was in the first Fletch movie with Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase was in Caddyshack with Rodney Dangerfield. And Rodney Dangerfield was in Back to School or William Zabka. That was one of the other movies where he played the jerk.
There you go.
So that was my one.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
Thank you.
I have one.
Okay.
Phoebe Cates, she was in Gremlins 2.
Yep, one of the stars.
Was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High with Judge Reinhold.
Of course.
Who is in Family Plan with Leslie Nielsen.
I've never heard of this movie.
And Leslie Nielsen was in Spy Hard with Pat Morita.
Oh.
Oh, Pat Morita's in Spy Hard? I didn't remember that. I like Spy Hard. That's a funny movie.
Yeah.
Ryan?
And I will not accept your shaming of technology just because I had to remind myself of who was actually in Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Yes.
And when I saw Getty Watanabe on the list.
I vote Kasparov over Deep Blue all the time. That's a chess reference.
Yes.
Man versus technology.
I vote for Watson. So I had to remind myself, and when I saw Getty Watanabe, I remembered that he was in Mulan. He was a voice in Mulan.
Oh, yes.
Along with Pat Morita, who was the emperor in Mulan.
Direct connection.
Boom.
You used an Asian connection.
Yes.
An Asian connection. What's your
Is that another dating
junction?
Thing?
Oh, God.
Asian
You know, these songs that you're coming up with, Mark, they're not making me very excited, which gives us a good intro into this week's King of the Thing.
Oh, King of the Thing.
King of the Thing.
King of the Thing.
Bobby.
So for this week's King of the Thing, I thought we would take it a little different from what we usually do. We often look at characters and such.
We do. It's true.
In our last one, we looked at the Looney Tunes. I wanted to look at some other types of tunes, and specifically, I wanted to look at kind of pump-up jams.
Songs, you mean?
Yes, because this movie, The Karate Kid, has one of the best with
one of the
You're
classics.
The Best.
Yeah, you're the best.
Thanks, Brian.
So
for nice of you.
Yeah. So for this one, I decided to do, I only did eight, but these are eight 80s pump-up songs from movies.
I like that.
So I'm gonna play a little clip of each one. I'm gonna start at the beginning for round one, so you can get that feeling, start feeling
so
pumped
we can
up.
Pump up the
and
jam.
you're gonna decide which one pumps you up more.
Okay. Yes.
Oh.
So it will depend on if our fist starts pumping.
Yeah. Do you have the actual music?
I have the music.
Oh, man.
So first we're gonna start with our number one seed versus our number eight seed. I'm not gonna even tell you what they are in advance.
All right.
Oh, okay. The aforementioned Eye of the Tiger, which we had just talked about.
It's a good song.
Survivor, again, they sang this, and apparently they sang a song in Karate Kid.
Yes.
I didn't recognize it.
This is our number one seed.
Yep.
Eye of the Tiger, and it's up against our number eight seed.
Is that what this is?
Oh, man.
You have to jog my memory. What movie is this from?
Oh,
We're just doing little clips.
All right.
As we advance further, we might hear more, depending on what gets the Duke.
Oh, yes.
So that is Hearts on Fire from Rocky IV.
Oh.
So we have Rocky III's Eye of the Tiger. And Rocky IV's
no contest.
Hearts on Fire.
Eye of the Tiger. It's the most, besides Gotta Fly Now, that's the most iconic Rocky song. You got Gotta Fly Now, you got Eye of the Tiger. I vote for that. My fist was pumping even before any of that came in. I just got a sense of it.
So you're voting against Ivan Drago.
No, I'm voting against Clubber Lang.
You're
and
voting
Thunderlips.
No, you're voting for them.
You're voting for Rocky III.
Yeah.
You're voting for Rocky III, not Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. Yeah. Rocky IV is Ivan Drago.
Because I'm trying to fight Clubber Lang.
Oh, you're fighting. Oh, man. Hearts on. Well, all right. I'm going to have to go. I'll go with you. I'm going to say number three. But you know why?
Pulling of teeth. Though.
I like the fourth movie so much better.
Well, the fourth movie's better.
Yeah.
But the song is better.
Yeah.
The song from the third one is better. But the fourth movie is superior.
Okay.
All right. We're going to move on to our number four seed versus our number five seed.
Ah, yes. But the thing is, like, I can't pinpoint this. I feel like they've used this in so many different movies. We Need a Hero. The only one that's jumping to me immediately is Short Circuit 2. That was one where it was used.
It's been used on the podcast in the past.
Oh, has it? Like, I feel like it's been used in so many 80s movies.
You might recall Kevin Bacon riding a tractor.
That's right. That's originally from Footloose, yeah. But it has been used in Short Circuit, too.
We need a hero.
Yeah, so we have Bonnie Tyler holding out for a hero. Yeah. And now, our number five.
My vote is this.
We're just doing Footloose against Footloose here.
It doesn't matter.
Isn't it?
This is Flashdance.
Oh, Flashdance. We're doing dancing against dancing movies.
Maniac. I'm going with this one. 100%.
She's a Maniac versus We Need a Hero.
Well, which one gets you more pumped up?
I feel like I'm... Both music inspires me, but... The message of We Need a Hero.
Wow,
I think that's something that we do need today. And I get pumped up about that more than a girl being a maniac. So
I think it's the beat of this.
I need Holding On for a Hero. Which means you're the tiebreaker, Brian.
Well, that's tricky.
I mean, again, it's
because Brian's dancing right now.
He is. He's in a leotard.
Going back.
Oh, all right.
I definitely watched Footloose 100 times over than Flashdance, so I'm partial to Footloose.
Brian, what would you listen to at the gym?
That implies that I would go to the gym.
Picture Johnny Five taking some... he's fighting the evil guys that stole Newton Crosby and
I have to give it to Holding Out for a Hero.
Yay!
Ah.
Like, I think it carries over into more realms. And
yes.
It translates far
fact
more.
It's been used in, like, multiple movies, too.
I'm sure Maniac has been used.
No, just Flashdance. That was written specifically and used for Flashdance. I mean, if you're counting, like, Tommy Boy when Rob was washing him off, but that was like a pastiche
That's
reference.
Been used. All right.
So that brings us now to our 2 seed versus our 7 seed.
The Ask, obviously
this is going to come in at number 2.
Oh, I jump ahead.
I just jumped ahead.
Yeah.
But now we're going to go to our number 7 seed.
Oh, this is Transformers.
This is Rick's favorite song.
Transformers, this wins.
Man.
Come on. No, there's no... Transformers.
You're the best around?
Yes. Transformers.
This is a tough one. It is a touch. It is a touch.
No.
Remember, it's about pump-up songs.
Oh, that's true.
Okay,
I'm
definitely more pumped up by You're the Best Around.
I'm
like,
more,
this is a good
you're
song.
You're right, you're right.
But this is like, I'll sit back
I
and
have
like,
to
listen
go.
To it.
Brian says it.
Yeah.
It's
you
a pump-up.
You gotta
go
with You're the Best Around.
Yeah.
Stan Bush, You've Got the Touch.
Galvatron.
And that brings us to our number 3 versus our number 6.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Kenny Loggins.
This is Archer's favorite song.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, this is Danger Zone from Top Gun.
And then our number 6 seed.
Sounds techno-y.
Yeah. Sounds like this should be like a Mega
video
Man
video game. Yeah.
Is it Mega
I
Man?
It's been used in one of the Grand Theft Autos.
Oh,
probably Vice City. I definitely know this. Oh, the Razor's Edge. This is from
what is
another? Is from another Rocky movie.
The title of the song is Scarface. Push It to the Limit.
From the movie Scarface?
Top Gun?
It's from the movie Scarface.
Oh. I'm going to have to go with Danger Zone.
I gotta go Danger Zone.
I didn't recognize this one.
Yeah.
I recognized it, but I didn't know it was from Scarface.
No.
I didn't know that was the name of the song. I would have guessed it was from a movie called Razor's Edge.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm guessing there was a lot of razors being used in Scarface.
More guns. Say hello to my little friend.
No, cocaine.
Oh.
All right, so that means that. We have our number 1 seed, Eye of the Tiger, versus number 4, Holding Out for a Hero. So many times it happens too fast.
You change your passion for glory. Next song. I have Mark's rendition on my pump-up mix.
It's just me singing the King of the Thing theme song.
King of the Thing. And what's the other one?
Yes. Listen to all the appearances of this song.
Go on.
Days of Our Lives, an episode of Alvin the Chipmunks, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, Cold Case, Smallville, Glee, Scream Queens, RuPaul's Drag Race. Here's all the movies.
Go on.
Footloose, Short Circuit 2, like I said. Who's Harry Crumb? Bandits, Shrek 2, and Nacho Libre. And like you said, Brian, not Grand Theft Auto, but similar, Saints Row, the third.
Oh, so that one was in there.
And Just Dance 2015.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
That's like everything that song has appeared in, like I said.
All right, so now.
So it's Eye of the Tiger versus Holding Out for a Hero.
I still, Eye of the Tiger.
I was going to say, I mean, as much as that shows up and stuff, I feel I'm very pumped by that song,
yeah.
But Eye of the Tiger just puts you over the top.
Yeah.
It's more of a training montage and, you know, working out type of thing. That's Stallone with the lumber. He's in Siberia, and he's...
It's too perfect.
So we're going with Eye of the Tiger.
All right, and that means we next have our number 2 seed, You're the Best, versus our number 3 seed, Danger Zone.
Oh, no. I need music.
Rick's thinking
Rick
music.
Can't think without music. Okay, I'm going to go on a limb here.
You're going to have to, because I'm leaning.
Well,
go ahead.
Here's the thing. I'm torn, so I might make you have the final decision here, Rick.
Okay.
I feel like I want to go more Danger Zone because I swear growing up, I watched both of these movies, Karate Kid and Top Gun, so many times, but I feel like I didn't really key in on the music of Karate Kid until, like, later years. The Top Gun music, the soundtrack, that always hit me, like, the first time I saw it. Anytime you see someone in a plane, Danger Zone comes on. That's like,
I never think of that when I'm on a plane.
I always do.
Like, you're flying in row 32D, and you're just like, oh, I'm thinking of Danger Zone.
But I'm going to go with Danger Zone.
Okay.
Really?
That's where I was leaning, too. So.
Because I love
that
Danger
song
Zone.
Just, yeah. It just gets you, like, ready
and
for battle.
I guess I kind of agree with, I don't remember You're the Best Around too much from...
It was later viewings I picked it up.
Yeah.
And I feel like, oh, yeah, pumps me up to fight a karate tournament, but Danger Zone pumps me up to go into battle, go into war.
I am vehemently disagreeing with both of you on this one.
Yeah, no, I'm going to, like, fly a Space Force ship.
It's like I don't even know you guys.
All right.
So that gives us Eye of the Tiger versus Danger Zone.
Oh, it's Eye of the Tiger.
It's Eye of the Tiger all day long.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's going to pump us up there.
I still think
so.
Galvatron would have won.
No.
Mark voted
Rick, you're such a Rodimus Prime.
You know, if it had come down to it, I would have gone You're the Best over Eye of the Tiger.
Well, it didn't come to that, so.
It didn't.
Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger.
King of the Tiger.
Sorry, Joe Esposito. You lost out to Eye of the Tiger again.
Again.
Joe Estevez.
That's true. All right, so gentlemen, I think we're going to kind of start winding things down with a quick rendition of
Oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be? Probably not famous anymore.
So I think the best place to start is maybe to run through some of the guys in the Cobra Kai.
I was just going to say, because we know...
One of the guys I do want to bring up, because I know Brian specifically during our main episode was like, I don't know the character names of any of these guys besides Johnny. And I remembered some of them from the tournament, like Bobby Brown and Dutch. And Dutch, I always...
And Lamar.
And Lamar slash Jerry.
Yeah.
But Dutch, I was always like, I know this guy is famous for something else, and I can't put my finger on it. And I did look it up after the episode. This is Chad McQueen. He's the son of Steve McQueen.
What?
Yeah, so that's why... The guy that had, like, the bleach blonde hair.
Okay.
So that was Dutch, played by Chad McQueen. And I had seen him in some, like, B-movie, action movie. I think there was... Oh, Rick, did I ever tell you about... I watched this movie once. I caught on, like, cable on, like, one of the paid channels. And it was, like, a movie starring all, like, siblings and, like, people related to famous action stars. So it was, like, Don Swayze, Mike Norris,
okay.
Chuck Norris's brother,
yeah,
and Chad McQueen. So, like, they were there, like, Steve McQueen's son, Chuck Norris's brother, and Patrick Swayze's brother. And it was an action movie. It was, like, second-tier action heroes.
So this is, like, the replacements yeah. of the Expendables.
Yeah, exactly. Are you looking for that movie?
Yeah, that movie's called Squanderers.
Really? I did not remember that. I believe it was on Cinemax. Action Max. Not some of the other Cinemax stations.
Skinemax.
I don't want to see Don Swayze is not a good-looking man. So, I mean, do we want to see what Chad McQueen's
yeah,
been up to
sure.
still?
It's literally just B-movies.
Yeah, just B-movies. What was the first thing he did right after Karate Kid?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's like his claim to fame.
Yeah, because that was like a big one for him.
Night Force.
Oh, who else was in? That sounds familiar. But, I mean,
I think
like
you're thinking of Space Force.
It just looks like a generic title, though.
It had Linda Blair and James Van Patten.
Wow, really?
Wow, Linda Blair. All right.
So what about Lamar? What's Lamar been doing?
Lamar slash Jerry Space Camp.
Yeah, Jerry. He'll always be Lamar to me.
He'll always be Lamar
Larry
to me.
B. Scott.
Oh, that's a fun name.
Larry.
So, of course, right after Karate Kid, he was in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, it was after.
It came out
well,
right after.
Same year, but yeah. We didn't know which one came first. Same
or it
year.
Came out after, according to this IMDb
I know he
order.
Showed up in... That's fine. Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
Yes, he did.
I don't know if he showed up in any of the other ones, though. They were like direct-to-TV sequels.
He was in Revenge of the Nerds 3, The Next Generation.
Oh.
What
about Revenge of the Nerds 4, Nerds in Love?
He was in that as well.
Oh, my God. That was actually one?
Yeah.
He was on Martin, as Clyde.
Oh.
The TV show?
Yes.
With Shanaynay?
He was Arthur Milano on Seinfeld.
Oh, okay. He's a cookie.
He was a paladin in Diablo 2, the video game.
Oh, okay. My brother played that game. Diablo. For the computer.
Yeah, I know, but he was...
It was a voice.
Oh.
He's like, I'm fun. Lamar.
I'm sure that's what he said.
That would have been awesome.
Lamar
in
Spring Break 83 from 2012.
I think I saw that movie.
Which had Morgan Fairchild, Joe Pantoliano,
what?
Lee Majors, Eric Estrada, Joe Piscopo.
This is an amazing movie.
What's the plot of the movie, Brian?
Can we watch this?
It's not from our youth.
This involves
four
Fort
friends
Lauderdale.
Who are bullied by their graduating high school class find revenge against the now freshman college students while on spring break during 1983.
Doesn't say where they go to spring break. If it's Fort Lauderdale, I've seen this movie.
That's the entire summer.
Okay.
The budget was $18 million.
Wow! Holy moly!
It's a remake of Sean S. Cunningham's Spring Break from 1983. It was filmed in 2007, but released in 2012.
I thought you said Spring Break 83.
Well, yes, the title of the movie is Spring Break 83 from 2012.
Oh,
it's a remake of a 1983 movie called Spring Break
as
well.
That's the one I saw. That's the one I think I saw, the 83 one. How about Bobby Brown? That was the guy that actually... hurt Daniel San's leg and was very apologetic about it.
What? Apologistic.
Didn't he hit Whitney Houston?
Different Bobby Brown. This one's played by Ron Thomas.
That's a white guy name if I've ever heard one.
He did reprise the role on Tosh.0.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Cobra Kai series.
In the Board Breaker episode. Know. Let's see. After Karate Kid, he was in The Big Bet. As Norman.
What year was that?
1985.
Oh, okay, so right
an
now.
Older woman helps a teenager seduce a schoolgirl.
That doesn't sound right.
That sounds...
Then he was in The Karate Kid Part 2 in 1986.
Well, they all were at the end, because again, it was a direct carryover.
Okay.
In 1987, he was in Night Screams. In 1990, he was helicopter pilot in Across the Killing Bay. And then in 2011, Tosh.0. He did win the World Jiu-Jitsu Championship in 1994.
Jiu-Jitsu?
It just says Jiu-Jitsu. And he opened the United Warriors Academy.
I was going to say, is it like a juju?
Okay, let's play a little game here.
Okay.
So this movie was released in 84. How old do you think he was?
Well, Ralph Macchio was 22.
We had said this.
So I'm going to say
Johnny was 19, right? 24.
23.
Oh,
she was
okay.
Born in 1961.
Shoot.
Good job. $1. So the other guy who was a member of the Cobra Kai dojo was the guy who said, get him a body bag, Johnny. And it was the guy who was like real.
No, that's actually his. That's his
name. That's his full character.
That's his name on IMDb.
I don't remember. I didn't know what his
name was. Get him a body bag.
He was the guy that was like, looks like you're not the only one trying new things, Johnny.
So you're looking at the character Tommy. Yes. He did. He actually had a few things before Karate Kid.
Oh, a rare.
Including Starship Invasions.
That sounds like a movie we made up.
Yeah.
Search and Destroy.
That also sounds like
Lost and Found.
It could exist.
Brubaker.
That's a real movie. That's got Robert Redford.
Really?
Yeah, Brubaker. Yeah.
Oh. Immediately after Karate Kid, he was in Best Revenge.
Not Best in Show.
No.
He played Bomber on St. Elsewhere.
Oh, with Howie Mandel and Denzel Washington and Mr. Feeny.
He was Packer.
They were all them
in
show.
Iron Eagle.
No, but I like how you just said Mr. Feeny.
And when they got an Iron Eagle, everyone was thinking, Highway to the Danger Zone. Because it was about planes.
He was on MacGyver.
Oh,
nice.
That's pretty good.
I would have picked that song. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
He played Ralph in The Munsters Today.
Interesting.
Which had Jason Marsden as Eddie Munster. He was in Hollywood Hot Tubs 2, Educating Crystal.
That's a porn movie. Come on. Gotta be.
A rich sheik tries to steal hot tub business by marrying the owner. Her daughter and others foil the plot.
It's not a porn.
I'm sure it is.
Jewel Shepherd plays Crystal. It's probably, at the very least, softcore.
All right.
He was on Coach.
Whoa! And
Dauber.
And Jerry Van Dyke.
And his most recent credit is The Pledge, which looks like it's probably like a 9/11 movie, because it looks like the World Trade Center's on the poster.
Oh, there was a Jack Nicholson movie called The Pledge. That must
be different. Yeah, it's not that one.
So, gentlemen, I think we're running low on time a little bit, so one last person I want to look up. The guy who I said, I think I should know this guy, but I don't, and his real name was Bruce Malamud. He played the announcer at the All Valley Karate Tournament. He just had a presence about him. Like, I feel like I should know who this guy is.
You should.
And I had no idea.
But you didn't.
Well, he passed away in 2005.
Oh, rest in peace.
He was born in 1934.
Oh, wow.
Good for him.
Yeah.
In terms of his acting credits, he was in The Man Who Wasn't There from 1983.
Oh.
With Steve Guttenberg and Jeffrey Tambor.
Wasn't there a Billy Bob Thornton movie with the same name, the Coen Brothers?
Yep, but he wasn't in that.
Okay.
He was in The Karate Kid and The Karate Kid 2.
Oh, yep. Perfect.
He was in Where Are the Children?
See, but I feel like he was, he's got an aura about him, like I should have known him outside of movies for some reason.
Well, he has enjoyed a distinguished career in film, television, theater as a writer, director, and actor.
So I know him from
He was a single parent. He was in.
That's how I know him.
And his final credit was 1994's Pentathlon
with
Edward James
Dolph
Almost.
Lundgren.
He did direct Hard to Kill.
Is Dolph Lundgren in Pentathlon? Am I making that up?
He is.
Ah,
your mind is stupid.
Stupidly good.
There's no reason for it to work like that.
It's for this podcast, Rick. I found an outlet. All right, Bruce Malamud, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for announcing the winner of Daniel San.
And of course,
Miyagi, we did it.
And of course, playing the role of Lady with Dog was Frances Bay, Happy Gilmore's grandma.
That's true. She's probably dead now, right?
Yes, she passed in 2011. At
Holy
the age
cow.
Of 92.
You know, actually, speaking of an old person, this is a weird
this
segue.
A bad segue, Rick.
We're going to the new segment.
I thought
Of old people.
I thought Cloris Leachman had passed away. She was just on John Oliver last weekend.
She was. I saw that episode. Yeah.
I was like, Cloris Leachman. Yeah.
Cloris Leachman was born in 1926.
Yeah, she's like 92 right now.
She's
speaking
in
of 92,
fest.
That's my segue.
Oh, very good.
And here's my segue. Beep, beep. I'm Paul Blart. And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Fellas, I've joined you here for this band meeting to come up with a strategy. So, we had a couple of hits in the 80s. Of course, our most famous one was Eye of the Tiger. So, I feel like we need another animal-related hit. Like, does anyone get any ideas? Like, let's brainstorm. Let's spitball here about another just animal-based hit so we could make the biggest comeback in our career. What do you got, Reggie?
I've got fat orangutan.
Fat orangutan. Can I get a little sample of that?
Yes, you can.
I am a fat orangutan. My feet are in pain. I don't like to climb trees. I can't swing with these.
I'm not hearing a lot of music to this. It doesn't. Like, I feel like the kids can't get pumped up and dance to it.
I don't know.
I named it Chuck.
I mean, come on. A wooden duck named Chuck. That's got a beat to it.
I must say, the orangutan voice you made sounds slightly like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. It might scare the kids.
Favorite little knickknack. If lost, I'd do anything to get him back.
I feel like our listeners are going to be scared and not be able to sleep.
Chuck is truly the best. I think I need some rest.
I don't know. What do you think about Reggie's idea, Jerry?
I think it's a good one. I think we can roll with it.
All right.
I think I like Chuck the duck.
That orangutan. Take it away.
I think I've lost my joy. Oh, no. Where is Chuck? I am out of luck. Chuck has flown the coop, and I feel like poop.
Well, there goes our career.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. And join us next time for our next full movie reviews. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the5dollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes in iTunes. And when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jeff Kimball and Jenny Weech for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby tiger eyes, orangutans?